Hey, how's it going, everyone? Welcome to Techotastic. Brand new episode here. I went on a bit of hiatus. As you can tell, the last episode was probably like a month ago. And basically, I just wanted to experience some nature, did a few hikes, and took a lot of pictures. I'm your host, Chris, and we will go over the tech stuff, all the tech hype, anything revolver on tech on Techotastic. Strap in. Get ready. You can always email your opinions back at us at techotastic@outlook.com. You can hit me up on Twitter at xbarmatic. And also, too, I am streaming on Twitch now. I'll stream for an hour plus. So come stop in and say what's going on. This is where I'll plan on doing my giveaways as well. Because I can engage a live audience, I figure it's better to do giveaways on a live stream. So I will be giving away my graphics card soon. I'm not too sure of how I'm going to do this. Maybe it'll be a Hearthstone tournament. Maybe it'll be Team Fortress. Who knows? But that's something I definitely want to give away, is my old graphics card. So check me out on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/xbar_. This episode, I wanted to talk about virtual reality. The whole history, the whole shebang about it. What's going on with it? What's the concerns? Is it even worth it right now? I'm going to give you my full opinion and the overview on virtual reality. And because this is such a broad topic and so big, I'm not going to do the tech bargains of the week, and I'm not going to do the tech articles as well. So this is just going to be a full-fledged feature episode on virtual reality. Let's start off with the definition. The definition of virtual reality states, virtual reality, it's computing noun. The computer-generated simulation of a three-dimensional image or environment that can be interacted within a seemingly real or physical way by a person using special electronic equipment, such as helmet with a screen inside or gloves fitted with sensors. So that's the definition of virtual reality. Now, when we all think about virtual reality, we just assume that it's going to be just this flawless design. But just like any bit of technology, it had to go through its growing pains. My experience with virtual reality is super limited. The only chance that I had with virtual reality was late 90s, maybe early 2000s. I went to Busch Gardens, which is a theme park in Tampa, Florida. And they had this virtual reality machine that was like this Star Wars game-esque. And it was very interesting. It was this huge contraption. You stepped inside of it. And it was, as far as I remember, it was a one-to-one motion. You know, I turned my head and my character turned my head. The only thing that I couldn't grasp was the weight of the helmet was forcing my head down. So I was primarily looking at the ground. But that was a lot of fun, you know. And that was in the early 2000s, late 90s, like I said. And it's helpful to note that this technology that they use is essentially the same technology that the devices like the Oculus Rift, the Vive are using in just a more compact and a more efficient form, you know, the consumer mode. I mean, looking at that machine in Busch Gardens, there'd be no way I would think that you would be able to buy that anywhere other than, you know, a Busch Gardens arcade or a special arcade that had this machine. It was so fucking huge. And you can tell that it was expensive. You know, the guy had to put the helmet or the screen, the sensor on your face. He wanted to make sure it was all strapped in, run nice and everything. So let's dive into the first nuances of virtual reality. And I was really surprised to find, when I looked this up, it was before 1950s, in a short story that Stanley Weinbrim, I'm probably butchering that name, in 1935 he wrote a short story called Pingleman's Spectacles, which basically the book described as a goggle-based system that used holographic recordings, and even he even went as far as describing as the experience including smell and touch. And this is in 1935 and is recognized as being the first piece of science fiction that explores virtual reality. Now let's jump to 1950, and in the 50s, Martin Hilling wrote a book called Experience Theater that encompasses all senses in an effective manner, thus drawing the viewer into the on-screen activity. Remember, virtual reality by definition has to be some sort of device in front of you, an electronic device that immerses the the viewer. Now, he built a prototype of this called the Sensorama in 1962. And this is a huge machine. I will post up this article on our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ETAcast. It's this massive machine that really the user just sits in a stationary form, and he puts his face up to this screen. And basically, the Sensorama displayed five short films that engaged multiple senses, rather, at various different times, including sight, sound, smell, and touch. So this thing actually had some sort of device that pumped out some sort of odor, which is very interesting. And the Sensorama was predating the digital computing era, so it was a completely mechanical device that apparently still functions today. Pretty cool stuff. So that was in 1962, we had the Sensorama. Now in 1968, this is what's heralded as being the first virtual reality device and augmented reality device. Now augmented reality is a completely different sensory, because it's using the world around you, just augmenting it. Now this device, Ivan Sutherland, this help of his student Bob Sprawl, created this head-mounted display. Now it used a user interface, which gave the realm of augmented reality. So it had a sort of UI on it, and it also incorporated a head-mounted display. But this display was so heavy, it actually had to be suspended from the ceiling, so it was strapped down from the ceiling, and the whoever was using it had to sort of put their head underneath it, I guess. And the graphics only comprised of just simple wireframe models of rooms. So I guess the user can sort of walk around in this wireframe empty room. Now in 1978, a group at MIT created this thing called Hypermedia, and basically all it was a crude virtual simulation of Aspen, Colorado, in which the users could wander around in the streets, experience different modes in summer, winter, and how they did this is very interesting, because they basically did this by stitching a bunch of photographs together and gave a sort of code in which the user can walk around in. So they photograph as much things as possible. Hey, maybe the user can walk around over here, check this area out, let's photograph that. They stitched them together. That's how they created this sort of photorealistic 3D environment, because they stitched them out in 3D. Sort of like Street View on Google. Now this is when it gets kind of serious, because in 1982, Atari founded a research lab for virtual reality. What I mean this is getting serious is because this is getting into the realm of games. We're getting innovators, we're getting, you know, creative people around this and going, you know, hey, we can create an immersive ass experience rather than just walking around in Aspen. Now, but sadly, even though they established this research lab, Atari was totally seeing this new emergence of technology. However, the video game crash of 1983 happened, and Atari had to shut down the facility. But thankfully, these creative people salvaged their research and development on their VR technologies. Now, in the 1980s, virtual reality was a term. It was popularized at the time and really catapulted when VPL Research was founded in 1985 by the name of Jaron Lanier. VPL Research developed several VR devices like the Data Glove, the iPhone, which is I spelled out as in our eyes, and the Audio Sphere. Now the Data Glove is very familiar with the gamers, because we remember the Power Glove, which Mattel adopted the Data Glove and then made an accessory known as the Power Glove. But it wasn't popular at all, and it was super hard to use, being that it was, you know, baby zones in the realm of gaming. Baby steps. We barely had 8-bit at the time, you know, working with fluency. Now in 1990, Jonathan Waldron, a VR PhD, virtual reality PhD, demonstrates virality at the Computer Graphics 90 Expedition in London. Now this new system was an actual arcade machine that used a virtual reality headset to immerse players, similar to the one that I used in Busch Gardens. Now a magazine called Cyber Edge and PC VR came out and basically just theorized the idea about VR and got really a lot of people excited about VR at the time. Being at the 90s though, everyone knew the limited computing power at the time was just going to hinder the whole idea of virtual reality. But this doesn't go without its niches, because in 1991, Sega announced the Sega VR for the arcade games and the Mega Drive console. It used LED screens in the sensor, or in the visor, excuse me, stereo headphones, and an inertial sensor that allowed the system to track and react to users' head movements. So this thing was actually incorporating a device all in one, the Sega VR. In the same year, 1991, Virality launched their mass multiplayer VR entertainment system, mega huge pod thing that cost $73,000. Now they featured headsets, exoskeleton gloves, and that was really the first immersive VR experience all in one little pod. 1991 was a huge year with VR in the sense that they were just creating different experiences of what they can do with virtual reality. Like in 1991, Caroline Cruz, Daniel Sandin, and Thomas D. Frandi from Electronics Visualary Laboratory created the first cubic immersive room, which replaced the goggles and created the multi-projected environment where people can see their body and people around them. So using camera projective technology. And in 91, Computer Gaming World, the magazine predicts affordable VR by 1994. But what happens in 1994 is Sega released their VR1 motion simulator arcade attraction, in which SeaWorld adopted in their arcades. Now this thing featured 3D polygons and stereoscopic 3D as well, so it gave that user the sense of depth. And also in 1994, Apple released QuickTime VR, which allowed users to interact with VR models. The next year later, the Virtual Boy, created by Nintendo, a love-hate machine among gamers, was released in Japan, and then later on released in North America. Also in 1995, a Seattle group demonstrates a cave-like 270 degrees immersive projection room called the Virtual Environment Theater, kind of reminiscent of the IMAX Dome. Forta released, Forta being a VR company, released the VFX1, a PC-powered virtual reality headset in 1995, which supported games like The Descent, Star Wars Dark Forces, System Shock, and Quake. I think that's the game that I played, the Star Wars Dark Forces. In 1999, entrepreneur Philip Rosedale formed Linden Lab, which was focused on developing hardware to enable users to immerse themselves in a fully 360-degree environment. And this earliest form is called the Rig. Basically, it was a clunky steel contraption with several computer monitors that users could wear in their shoulders. The vision soon morphed into a software-based 3D world called The Second Life. That's how that formed, The Second Life, formed out of virtual reality. By the way, the game is still going strong today. Now, jumping into 2000 into present day, this is when things get really serious with virtual reality. You'll see it start to just envelope on the way, on the realm of it being embraced by Google, and you'll see, you know, obviously the Oculus Rift coming out. All these devices that are coming out in 2000 to now are just smaller forms that we just talked about. Now in 2001, the SAS3, or the SAS Cube rather, becomes the first PC-based cubic room, essentially being the projection-based, like we saw in 1991, I believe, in 1994. Now things kind of remained a little stagnant for a couple years because we were emerging in the touchscreen technology. But in 2007, Google introduced the Street View, which is a stereoscopic 3D mode, which they introduced in 2010 that users can do. But the Street View itself is virtual reality. That camera that they developed is all integrated and it stitches itself. It's all virtual. Now, later in 2010, Palmer Luckey, which founded the Oculus VR, designed the first prototype, the Oculus Rift. Now, the first prototype would only display 2D images and was super heavy. However, it did its job in its way of showing what it wanted to do. Now, in 2013, Nintendo filed a patent for concept of using VR. Basically, they wanted the tracking technology on VR, and which came on the Wii and the Wii U later on. Now, in July 2013 as well, Vendetta Online was the first MMORPG to support Oculus Rift. And so basically anyone that had this development kit can run a full-fledged game on virtual reality. Now, in March 2014, Facebook purchased Oculus VR for $2 billion, and that's when also Sony announced their Project Morpheus, which is the PlayStation virtual reality that's going to be available for the PS4. And also Google announced the Cardboard, which is the sort of makeshift virtual reality that you can use for your smartphone. You just build a little box around it, and it the way that they made this is the screen, your phone is so close to you, it feels like it's a massive screen. So they made this sort of makeshift virtual reality. You can look it up, it's called Google Cardboard, and you download the app and whatnot and do it yourself. Now, in 2013, there was a bunch of companies like the Virtual Omnix coming out that wants to incorporate a treadmill and have the user sort of move their legs to move in the environment. You're seeing a lot of different devices that's integrating on virtual reality to expand upon the experience. Now, later on in February to March 2015, HTC and Valve partnered up. And that's when they announced their HTC Vive, which featured these sort of these controllers and their tracking, which they call a Lighthouse. They're hoping to release the Vive public in April 2016, which is right now. Now, the Vive uses the incorporation of cameras, like the projection technology, but the cameras themselves scan the room. So scan your specifications of your room and creates that virtual reality environment in which you can walk around in. No treadmill needed. That's basically what they're trying to show with that. And from then on, we have a lot of use of virtual reality being used in weird little apps. Snoop Dogg on April 1st did this thing where he took over YouTube, and you can use virtual reality, the Google Cardboard, to look around the theater and see Snoop Dogg sitting around. So you're seeing a lot of emergence of virtual reality just trying to be shown to the consumer of like, hey, this is cool stuff, check it out. And the uses of virtual reality, let's go into that. So the uses obviously are a immersive simulating experience. If you put a plank on the ground and you go, all right, we're going to test your balance, put on this headset and stand right here and wait till I say go, or wait till the game says go, and we're going to test your balance and your fear of heights on this simulation. And you put on the headset, you look down, and you're fucking 100 stories up on a skyscraper. You see the cars, super tiny cars, and you see like a bird flying by. You know, you look around, everything's all head track, you're there. And what that is essentially doing, it's not only bringing you there and making you feel like you're gonna fall off, but if you do that every single day, I guarantee you that flutteriness in your stomach, your fear of heights, your vertigo-ness will start to come down. And this is being used actually in the US Navy for parachute training. They'll put the soldier on a whole parachute rig in which he's holding the top of it. They'll put a VR headset on him and say, all right, you're parachuting out, soldier. You know, you need a parachute right there. And there's no consequence to it. That's the beauty of it. You fall off the plank, you're just there in real life going on the floor. You feel like you're gonna fall off though in virtual reality space and die, and that's it. And you'll be on the news later. But the idea is you keep doing it over and over again, you're only gonna get better. So I can see this being used obviously in schools. I can see this being used for surgical training, obviously. You know, there's so many different applications this can be used because it creates an environment in which you don't have any consequences in. and you feel like you're there. So all the things you're doing, there's one thing when you pick up a controller, okay, and you use the controller to aim down your barrel of your gun and you shoot the player, your enemy in your face, or in their face, you see their head explode, there's blood going everywhere on the screen, no problem, you can keep doing that all day. You're using the controller, you're sitting right there. However, with virtual reality, it immerses you in a way that you question your motives and your morals. Because there's even this game that was developed in which you have to pick up a gun and you have to shoot someone behind, like right behind their head, like you're 2 inches in virtual reality space and they're facing away and you gotta shoot them. And people were having a hard time doing that. That is super interesting to me. And other uses of virtual reality are gonna be expounding upon the MMO genre. If you haven't seen Sword Art Online, the anime, that's exactly what it's gonna do in virtual reality. They're gonna develop these haptic gloves. They're gonna develop everything in which it's going to be immersive. It's gonna complement the technology, the gloves, the visors are gonna all work the same. You know, you're gonna be able to feel the environment and in the game. You know, you put your hand in the game on a wall, you'll be able to feel that there's a wall there. That's gonna be amazing for MMORPGs because these games are built around this massive world, this huge lore, amazing graphics. Like I've been playing Elder Scrolls Online and the first person mode really nails it. I can definitely imagine playing virtual reality, going into first person in that game and feeling like I'm fucking slaying giant ass fucking spiders. I can imagine if that game adopts virtual reality, that'd be incredible. And other things and other uses of virtual reality are gonna include, like, when you're buying your house, rather than going clicking on the video button, no, you can walk around in that house that you're going to buy thousands of miles, or you're willing to buy thousands of miles away. You don't need to go there. You know, you can check out as many houses as you want to that day across the country, walk around, you know, everything's all the exact replica of the house in which you're going to buy. It's good for architects too. They can see the building. They can see design flaws when walking around the building, this, that, and the other, before they actually build it. Now let's talk about, is it worth it? You can get your hands on virtual reality today. All you gotta do is buy an Oculus Rift, make sure your PC can run the Oculus Rift before you get it. And there's a few games in which you can play. In fact, there's a game called Chrono that's a launch title. My brother worked on it, and he was describing there's a nice 13 to 14 hour experience, and the gameplay is like Zelda with, I think he said, Dark Souls, and he described it as a whole VR experience, and it was really cool to get that take, because rather than these games adopting it, he's talking about the game being created from the ground up, being a whole experience, not just being a roller coaster ride, this, that, and the other, but this is what VR is going to do for you, you know. And I can imagine, you know, after playing 13 hours of the game, after beating it, it's going to be a much different experience than beating a game where I'm just sitting on my couch with a controller. I'm going to be probably more inclined to like that game's storyline a lot more, because it's going to immerse me. There's going to be no distractions, and that's another refreshing element with the gaming universe. Because that's what games want you to do. You know, people view games as being a big waste because you beat it and that's it. You know, you beat a game like Fallout or you beat a game like Mass Effect and people think like, oh, that's it. But no, you know, you're supposed to fall in love with the experience. That's what game design wants you to do. They want you to fall in love with their game. They're not making the game just to go, all right, let's go here, A, B, C, D, E. I'm sure there's some games like that, but those games I just described, like Mass Effect and Fallout, they want you to love that game, fall in love with it, have a memorable experience with it. And I think VR is going to accentuate that. So do I think VR is worth it right now? Speaking of my brother as well, he's had way more experience with virtual reality. You know, he was saying in the early models, it would be very hard for him to stay on it for more than an hour, with just the motion sickness and the low resness. the low resolution of things, I'd imagine. But however, he said, now he can use it for 4 or 5 hours, you know, a whole gaming session that he wants to play and have a whole experience, and it's no problem. He was also telling me there's this really cool game that it's like a gun western game, and you can use the environment around you for cover, and there's people like bumping into pillars and hit their desk and shit. These are all playing multiplayer. And there's also like people without the headset to monitor everyone, make sure they don't bust their ass. So I think virtual reality is going to be a really amazing thing. It's going to accentuate people in the realm of their passions. You know, if you want to go on the surface of Mars, you just go to Mars, boom, you're there on Mars, have fun. You want to experience what it's like to be on a rocket ship when it takes off, you know, you can download that. That's a great game, do it. There's a lot of cool things that you're going to be able to experience with virtual reality that just sadly, you know, the setup that we have right now cannot create that. We've exacerbated of what we have right now. The controllers, you can put a touchscreen on it, you can do whatever the fuck, it doesn't matter. It's still a controller in which you put in your hand. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, but I'm saying that the device itself, the input, does not create and will not create the immersive experience that virtual reality is doing right now. Just limited hardware in that sense. Will it replace it? No, it won't replace it. No, there's gonna be some games that you're gonna wanna use a keyboard and mouse. There's some games you're gonna wanna sit down and chill out on your couch, absolutely. It's just an add-on for the entertainment realm. So we should all embrace virtual reality, and I think in the next 2 to 3 years, we'll really see a lot of different products, a lot of different choices. I'm hoping to see maybe some virtual reality arcades. You know, you can go to a big city and fucking take all your friends and have a fucking adventure for the whole day. I think that'd be an amazing experience, and it'll put another social fucking breath into America rather than just being a whole bar experience. I mean, I honestly miss going to the arcade. I used to go to the arcade all the time as a kid. And when I went to Japan, I was happy to see that there was a whole freaking district of arcades, and I had a blasty blast there. So I think that'll be a cool way of America reviving the arcade, virtual reality. Well, I want to thank everyone for checking out this episode on virtual reality, Techotastic, and I want to remind everyone about my Twitch schedule. That's go on twitch.tv/xbar_. I'll be streaming 6 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And I will be doing my podcast on the regular again. We'll get back on the regular schedule. Remember, you can check out all of the other podcasts, like Trust Me, I Have a Beard, the original ETA cast, the Did You Beat It podcast. Just go on Facebook. That's facebook.com/ETA cast. Hit that like button. I love you forever. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. I hope you guys have a fucking techotastic day. We'll see you next time.